Hi, I'm WFSU Morning Edition host Gina Jordan, and today we are speaking of Juneteenth. It's now a federal and state holiday, although Tallahassee has its own holiday on May 20th to remember the day that Union troops arrived in the capital city and enforced the Emancipation Proclamation. The announcement came at the Knott House, just blocks from the Capitol. Last month, the city celebrated the 160th anniversary of freedom for Florida's enslaved people. Tom Flanagan was among the crowds.
The day began with a memorial. Nearly three dozen black Union soldiers are buried in the western quadrant of the old city cemetery. Their internments came at a time when even graveyards were racially segregated. Today, there are those who insist the sins and mistakes of the past are best forgotten. But Caitlin Palmer, an FSU student affiliated with the school's Civil Rights Institute, has a different take.
One major thing that I think goes into that feeling of threat is guilt. No one wants to be considered a bad guy. Nobody wants to be considered an antagonist in anyone else's story.
Although she adds it's impossible to avoid past errors if addressing them is also avoided. Following the graveyard memorial, Emancipation Day activities moved a few blocks east to the Knott House at the corner of Park Avenue and Calhoun Street. Hundreds of people gathered for the traditional reading of the Emancipation Proclamation by Brian Bibbo, once again decked out as Union General Edward McCook. Accompanied by members of the 2nd Infantry Colored Troops, Bibbo delivered President Lincoln's historic document on the very same spot as the real-life McCook 160 years before. The significance was not lost on Professor Ralph Noble. He and around 50 students from South Carolina State University were in town for a workforce conference at sister HBCU, Florida A&M University. He thought the event's message was powerful.
America! Sweet America!
I guess to appreciate things that have happened in the past, knowing your history to some extent, knowing where we headed, or some ideas of difficult trends we've had in the past, how to be sure we don't retread the same kind of pathways, and look forward to new growth.
Florida Emancipation Day 2025, at the very same spot where it actually happened 160 years ago. For WFSU News, I'm Tom Flanagan.
Today, June 19th, is a paid day off for many workers. While May 20th is the date Florida's enslaved people heard they were free, it took another month, until June 19th, for the message to reach Texas. Today we're getting a history lesson and some analysis from two local historians and scholars. We start with Dr. Andrea Oliver, a professor of history at Tallahassee State College and a member of the WFSU Community Advisory Board.
I think that it is important to recognize the specific day that enslaved Floridians received their freedom, which was May 20th of 1865. Now, in terms of recognizing Juneteenth, I do think that that is important because it is a reflection of a very important principle, a principle that states that until all of us are free, none of us are free. So while it is true that enslaved Floridians received their freedom roughly a month earlier than enslaved Texans received theirs, I think it is important to acknowledge that there was still enslavement being carried out, or at the very least, that people didn't know that enslavement had in fact ended with the conclusion of the Civil War.
So in relation to that, as far as how the Emancipation Proclamation relates to Juneteenth, can you explain how that delay in communication in the reading of that document impacted enslaved people in Texas?
So as I point out to my students that I teach at Tallahassee State, there was no Instagram, there was no Snapchat, there was no FaceTime. And so obviously it took time for word to travel to places where it needed to go. Texas was the westernmost official part of the Confederacy, so it stood to reason that though Lee offered his surrender to Ulysses S. Grant, bringing an official end to the Civil War, that occurred in April. It's obviously going to take some time for word to travel as far west as Texas. And I also want to point out that with regards to the Emancipation Proclamation itself, it is more so a symbolic measure as much as it was also a strategic military move on Lincoln's part. Because if we read the text of the Emancipation Proclamation very carefully, Lincoln issued it in September of 1862 and made it such that it wouldn't go into effect until 100 days after his initial issuance. And I think if you look at the actual text of the proclamation itself, we get some clues as to why Lincoln did that. The provision to free slaves, or that they would forever be free, only applied to enslaved people in areas still in rebellion to the Union. So that is a very important piece that we really need to make sure that we're clear about. In September of 1862, when Lincoln issued that emancipation decree, there were several areas in the Confederacy, or also known as the South, that were actually under Union control. So emancipation did not apply to enslaved individuals, for example, in places like New Orleans, Vicksburg, Mississippi, even Jacksonville, Florida, because these were areas that were under Union control. And the fact that it didn't go or wasn't set to go into effect until January the 1st of 1863 tells us that Lincoln was giving the Confederacy 100 days to surrender. So it's important to realize that the Emancipation Proclamation did nothing to free enslaved people, not only in areas that were under Union control, but also in areas known as the border states. These were states where slavery was legal that did not secede from the Union. So states like Maryland, Delaware, Kentucky, Missouri, those were your four border states. Enslaved people in those states, the Emancipation Proclamation did not apply to them. That's why the 13th Amendment was needed.
Okay, so now that we have these Juneteenth recognitions, how have these kind of observances evolved, would you say, in Florida and around the country as far as people understanding Juneteenth and honoring it?
If nothing else, it has raised awareness, appreciation, and just in general knowledge about slavery, what it has meant to this country, the role that it played in this country's development, the fact that you have members of the African American community now able to share the history behind why there was even a Juneteenth in the first place. I like to think of it as America's true Independence Day. Until all of us are free, none of us are. Considering that at the time of July 4th, 1776, 25% of the American population was held in bondage, and slavery was legal under the banner of the American flag at that time. To come full circle 87 years later and have in 1865 a true revolution resulting in true freedom and true liberation and the ending of human bondage within our borders. I don't think that we can really overstate how significant that really is.
Well, let's dive some more into that. Freedom comes to mind. Liberation, those are words you just used. What other words? There's more to it, right? There's a lot more to it, really.
Well, reckoning might come to mind. The fact of the matter is we really stood at a pivotal point in our history. How are we now going to incorporate the nearly 4 million men, women, and children who enslavement is all they've known into the broader fabric of the American population so that we can make true the promise of liberty and justice for all? Hence, the ratification of not just the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment gave citizenship to African-American people, because there's a clause in the 14th Amendment that talks about citizenship being extended to all of us regardless of previous condition of servitude. that was specifically directed to formerly enslaved people. And of course, you had the ratification of the 15th Amendment, which of course extended the right to vote to Black men. Should point out, obviously, women of neither race had achieved that right and wouldn't be extended that right for another 50 years. I know.
Wow. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
What should we be learning right now from Juneteenth?
I've sadly seen how some point to Juneteenth as another fault line around which to create more division. And to those individuals, I would say it's an unfortunate and frankly inaccurate way of viewing this holiday. It's a holiday that all of us should celebrate. Who would be against celebrating freedom from bondage? I mean, that's, you know, what is more American than acknowledging this was something that we did, we shouldn't have done it, and now we're correcting course. I can't think of anything more American than that. Frankly, I can't think of anything more human than that.
How do you think we can best approach these conversations?
Honestly, we don't make it better by ignoring it. We do not make it better by whitewashing it, wishing it away that it never existed. We make it better by confronting it honestly, with compassion, with care, with concern, motivated by a love of this country, wanting it to be better and knowing that we want it to be all that it can be.
Thank you to TSC History Professor Andrea Oliver for those words of wisdom. Now we get some analysis from Dr. Tiffany Packer from Florida A&M University. She is an associate professor and department chair of history, political science, geography, and African American studies at FAMU.
Juneteenth marks the ending of slavery for the state of Texas. And of course, this is celebrated by so many people in the African American community. But I think what people get wrong is that it is only an African American holiday. This is for any and everybody who believes in the concept of freedom and equality for all people. The concept of emancipation goes, you know, before and even beyond Juneteenth, that you have different areas throughout the South that will celebrate their own emancipation during certain times. For example, for Florida, it's May 20th. For places like Kentucky, it's August 8th, right? Because that's when they really will start to experience true emancipation of getting the word that they are actually free.
Yeah.
So Juneteenth has a long hand.
So I want to ask you about that. Tallahassee celebrates Emancipation Day on May 20th. Mm-hmm. That's in lieu of recognizing Juneteenth as a holiday, although they will have celebrations on that day. But mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
I think that it is so appropriate. So actually, when we talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, there were actually two. The first one was in 1863. The second one was in 1865. Those who practice history tend to lean in to the 1865 Emancipation Proclamation because it's really when Black people will, for real, start to experience this idea of freedom, right? And so it goes into effect on January 1, but the word of that Emancipation Proclamation had to have time to kind of trickle down. And for some states, even if they heard about it, they still were kind of stubborn and resistant in some cases of actually practicing it, right? So for the state of Florida, it is May 20th that we will have the announcement of the Emancipation Proclamation in front of what is now understood as the Knot House, where the people in Florida will learn of their freedom because, interestingly, roughly 75% of the residents of Leon County were enslaved populations. So this was a really big deal to get that word at that particular date. So May 20th is just a way that the state of Florida is being intentional about notating and celebrating its own personal emancipation.
at the federal level, we have the Juneteenth holiday. Mm-hmm. And we know that a lot of states had already done that, including Florida. But why is this so important?
This is so important because one of the things that has been at the core, at least in theory, at the core of America's society is the inclusion. You know, this is supposed to be the melting pot. This is the inclusion of so many different types of people and cultures, and that includes histories as well. And so African Americans have been, you know, historically so paramount to the evolution of this country that, you know, to not recognize it would be a bit uncivilized, if you ask me. And so it is just a way of kind of continuing in this tradition of America's identity, of what freedom and independence means, particularly for its people and its citizens, both past and present.
How do you think Juneteenth observances have evolved around the country?
I think that it has involved in some major ways because, you know, honestly, when, and I consider myself to be a young lady, but even when I was a girl, if I'm being completely honest, I don't know that I really knew that much about Juneteenth. If I had really heard that much about it, I would certainly argue that that's not the case for my children now. Of course, they know Juneteenth, are familiar with it, they're knowledgeable of it. And so just simply people knowing about it, I think, is a sign of huge progression and a victory of sorts. And so I think knowing about it has more so to do with acknowledgement of things that come along with it, like parades and festivals and different celebrations have kind of aided and assisted in how we know what it is and the relevance of it as well.
If you were to be the one to craft a Juneteenth celebration or to mark it somehow, what is your ideal day to mark Juneteenth?
Ooh, my ideal day is probably, it's so full, right? So full. It would be filled with some sort of festivals, which would include gospel music. It would include African dancing. It would include workshops around community building. But guess what? It would also include eating red velvet cake.
Well,
it would include red Kool-Aid.
I support that.
Because, you know, red is such a symbolic color for Juneteenth because it represents the blood of the people, the bloodshed of those that, you know, sacrifice their life for the ultimate gift of freedom. So people tend to eat and prepare red things or wear red things,
yeah,
right? To commemorate Juneteenth. So that's what it would look like.
Nice. Yeah. Let's describe your outfit.
So I have on a red shirt and red pants with a blue blazer, and I have on my white pearls.
Very nice.
So I tend to like to wear these colors intentionally during the week of Juneteenth because they're actually two different flags that are often used around this time. But the Juneteenth flag is one that was adopted around the late 80s, where it's red, blue, and white, the same colors of the American flag. And it has one star in the middle that looks like it's bursting, right? And so the idea is that now this particular population, formerly enslaved population, are understanding themselves as people, citizens in this country. And they are representing the bursting star, which is now so symbolic of their independence. So it is a Juneteenth flag, but one that tends to be associated with Texas. But of course, we carry it countrywide.
Yeah. Well, since you brought it up, we do have Independence Day coming up.
We do.
And as America commemorates that with the Declaration of Independence, can you offer some perspective on how Juneteenth relates to the 4th of July?
Oh, my gosh. What a great question. I love this question. And I like to address it every year because so many times I hear people say, you know, July 4th is not our Independence Day. We are not celebrating July 4th. We celebrate Juneteenth. That's our Freedom Day. And that's fine. But let me offer some different perspective. July 4th, even though it's associated with 1776, the concept around it was independence, of course. And even though slavery will continue after that's over, even get harder after that's over, there were Black soldiers who fought on behalf of the Patriot Army because they understood the power of independence even then. And their role in that American Revolution will continue to plant seeds of freedom that will come over time. And it is also a reminder that when you're pushing and fighting for freedom, that you have to lock your knees. It is not instant. It's not instant gratification. Sometimes it's a seed that you plant that you may not reap the benefits of during your lifetime. But you know that you still have to put it down so that it would be there for the generations to come. I think I would be remiss if I did not mention Opal Lee. Opal Lee is a retired teacher out of Texas who really for years pushed the holiday of Juneteenth. She has been talking about this for, I think it said she was like born in like 1926. So she's been talking about Juneteenth for a long time and continued to push for Juneteenth to become a federal holiday. I can imagine her talking about this at least since the 70s and 80s. And so what if she would have given up or stopped to do her push and her fight? So I think as we honor her and her legacy, as we reflect on Juneteenth, I think that we also can continue to learn from Miss Lee that when you know something is right and if you know something is good, you have to lock your knees and continue to move forward as you are progressing towards what is right and what is good for the greater good of the people.
Thank you to FAMU Associate Professor of History and Department Chair Tiffany Packer. To hear more of the conversations you just heard, visit WFSU.org. I'm Gina Jordan.